21. We finished up last Sunday looking at the parable of the sower. And beginning in verse 21, the scripture says, "He said unto them, is a candle," and if you have a red letter edition, you know this is the Lord speaking, "is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed?" A bushel here, the way that term is used here, has to do with a container that would hold a bushel. If you look up the definition of a bushel, you see that sometimes it's a measurement, it's an amount of something. But then also it is defined as a container that would hold a bushel. So when it says, "is a candle brought to be put under a bushel," it's talking about being put under a container that would hold a bushel of whatever, or under a bed. And of course, the implied answer to the Lord's question is no, a candle. And we're all familiar with candles, but candles are not brought to be put underneath anything, really. They're not brought so that you can cover up their light. That's not the purpose of a candle. What is the purpose of a candle? And I realize that the purposes for candles have grown and changed as the years have gone by. Back in this day and time, they didn't have electricity, you understand, and they didn't have all the modern conveniences that we have now. So the primary function of a candle at this time was to give light. It was so that people could see. Now, since we have electricity, very rarely do people use candles for light. What do they normally use them for now? Amen, brother. Amen. They are putting out scented candles and all this other kind of stuff. Now they're used to help a room smell better, a house smell better, whatever the case. But back in this day and time, the primary function of a candle was to give light. So you wouldn't bring one to put it under something to conceal its purpose. You wouldn't do that. He goes on to say, "and not to be set on a candlestick." And the implied answer to that question is yes. That's why you would bring a candle, to put it on a candlestick, something designed to hold that candle so that it could give light. Because that's its primary function, its main purpose is to give light so that people can see. And there are a lot of different ways that you can make application to what the Lord says here in this passage. And really, verses 21 through 25 go together and lead in to what is going to be said in verses 26 to 32. But there are a lot of different ways that you can make application to what he says. From verse 21, there's the obvious application of us as the light of the world, letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. And I say that because of what the Lord says here, and also back in Matthew chapter 5. You turn back to Matthew chapter 5 to a passage that we're all, or at least I would think most of us, are familiar with. Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, Matthew 5:14. Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle." So he's talking here in Mark about a candle. He says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." That's not what they do with it. "But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." That's what they do with it, so people can get light. And then his application, verse 16, "Let your light," we are the light of the world, we're not to conceal that light, we're not to try to hide that light, but we're to let our light so shine, just like that candle puts off light. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So there is that application to what he says over here in Mark chapter number 4, the application of us letting our light shine. But also, if you continue reading, you see that there's the application that the Lord is going to bring to light, so to speak, the things that are hidden by people. Look at verse number 22, Mark chapter 4, verse 22. He says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested." To be manifested is to be exposed, to be brought out to where it can be seen. "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." So there's the application from what he says here, is that the Lord, just like that candle that's put on that candlestick, exposes what's in the house and shines upon whatever you might not be able to see without that light. God is going to bring to light the things that are hid. And people do a good job of hiding things, of keeping certain things a secret. They do a great job of that. They hide things from their spouses. They hide things from their children. They hide things from their parents. They hide things from their brothers and sisters in Christ, their co-workers. They hide things from their pastor. People do a good job, and they go to great lengths to try to keep concealed things that they don't want other people to find out about. They have those skeletons that are in that dark closet that they don't want anybody to see or anybody to find out about. But the fact is, the Lord knows about every secret and hidden thing we have in our life. Amen. He knows about everything. Whatever you have in that dark closet that you don't want anybody to find or anybody to see, God already knows about that, and he's the one that matters more than anybody else. But he knows about that. And at some point in time, he's going to bring to light whatever it is that's hidden. Verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested." Nothing. The Bible does say, be sure that your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, it will come out. If by some chance a person lives this life down here and they are able to keep concealed whatever it is they don't want other people to discover, it will be exposed at the judgment. It will be exposed either here or there or maybe in both places, but it's going to be exposed at some point. The Bible says that God will judge. Y'all listen to me? God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. He's going to judge those secrets. And that means he's going to bring them out, expose them, and he's going to judge those things. You see this truth also over in 1 Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy for just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5 in verse 24. 1 Timothy 5, 24. The scripture says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand," going before the judgment. They're open beforehand. That is, they're open now, down here. And they go to judgment down here. God exposes them and judges them now. But he says, "And some men they follow after." Some men they're going to follow after. They're not necessarily exposed here, but they will follow them and they will be exposed. He will judge those secrets. And the same is true of the good works. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. He's going to do it for the good and the bad, and that's another application to the text here in Mark chapter 4. It's not just that he's going to expose the bad and deal with that, but he's also going to expose the good, because some people want to do good, and they do good without making a show. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want everybody to find out what they do. They prefer to be anonymous in what they do. They don't want the pats on the back and the applause of men and all that kind of business. They just want to do something good for the glory of God and for the benefit of others and get no praise and no credit for it whatsoever. And there have been and will continue to be people that live their life doing that very thing. They go through life just doing good and helping and doing good and helping and doing it for God's glory, and they will never down here. Some of them will, but others will live and never really get any recognition or acknowledgement whatsoever for the good that they've done down here. But what a blessing it is to know that at the judgment they will be rewarded for the good that they do. Amen? It won't go unnoticed. If it is unnoticed down here by people, it will be noticed at the judgment. It'll be brought out, and the Lord will reward them for their good. So there's that application to the text. But if you look back there at Mark chapter 4, what I want you to understand is that the primary application for what he says here in verses 21 to 25 has to do with people being exposed to the truth. It has to do with them being exposed to truth that they did not know beforehand. They had not heard. It had not been revealed to them. That's why he starts out this thing by talking about this candle being put on a candlestick. Truth is likened unto light in the Word of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, if you know anything about your Bible, you know that he began to bring out some truth and some revelation that people had not heard before. There were some things that he taught and said that these people were not familiar with. So he came as the light of the world. That's what he said about himself. He said, "I am the light of the world." He came as the light of the world. And he came bearing truth and giving out truth as he lived his life. That was one of the main things that the Lord Jesus Christ did during the years that he lived on this earth. He gave out truth to people, especially during the time when he had his primary earthly ministry. He gave out truth. The Bible says that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he came as the light of the world, exposing people to truth that they had not heard before. It was stuff that had been hidden and was secret, and now he brings it out. And look at verse 23. This is how you know that's the main application here. He says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And look at verse 24. "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. What measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Look on down at verse 33 in this chapter. "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it." See, the main application of verses 21 to 25 is people being confronted with truth that they had not heard before. It's being brought out to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving them truth. And one reason why he says all this stuff is because he's about to give them some truth that they had not previously heard concerning the kingdom of God. In verses 26 to 29 and verses 30 to 32, he's going to give two parables that have to do with the kingdom of God. He's going to give them some truth that they had not been exposed to. So he sets that up by saying what he does in verses 21 to 25. And what he's trying to get these people to do is to open up their ears to the truth that he's going to give them. He says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Listen up to this truth. Let this light and truth that I'm going to give you come in to your ears and sink down into your ears and into your heart. And he says in verse 24, "Take heed what you hear." Now, obvious practical application of that is that we need to be careful about what we hear. Amen? There's things that we need to try to not hear. Right? There's things you and I would be better off never hearing. When you're talking about stuff that's ugly and nasty, whether it be music or it be something that's on the television or just something that people are saying in conversation, whatever, if it's just bad, we need to be careful that we don't expose ourselves to that stuff as much as possible. We need to take heed what we hear, be on guard and be cautious and careful and not just allow ourselves to hear anything. I'm amazed at how people think with regards to this that I'm talking about. It's amazing how people think that it doesn't matter what they hear, what they listen to. And you even hear parents make comments about how it doesn't really matter what kind of music that their children listen to or what kind of programs they listen to on television. They say, well, it's just music, and it's just, that's right, it's just music, and it's just stuff on TV. But all that stuff is getting into their ears, and it's getting into their mind, and it's getting into their heart, and it's corrupting their minds, and it's corrupting their hearts. And it will do the same thing to us adults, the same thing. We don't ever need to have this mentality. Well, I know, you know, little kids don't need to hear this stuff, but I'm an adult now, so it's, you know. That's what the devil wants you to think, that you can handle it, that you can listen to whatever and it won't affect you, but it will. We need to be careful. And you can also take this beyond just nasty stuff that you hear from the world and apply it to false doctrine as well. Do you realize there are certain preachers that you don't need to listen to? Certain Bible teachers you don't need to listen to. You don't need to expose yourself to that heresy and that false doctrine, which is what a lot of people have done. They've heard it. They've exposed themselves to it. Now they've accepted it, and they're heading down a road that's taking them away from God instead of toward God. So we need to take heed what we hear. But again, in the context, Jesus is talking about these people having ears to hear the truth that he's giving them. They need to take heed and hear this truth that he's giving to them. Because look at what he says in verse 24. With what measure ye meet. To meet is to measure or allot. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. The idea is the extent to which you open yourself up to truth is the amount of truth that you'll be given. Y'all understand that principle? The Lord will give you the amount of truth that you are willing to receive from him, is the idea. And he goes on to say, and unto you that hear, those that have ears to hear, the ones that will open up their ears to the truth and won't put a limit, won't just measure out a certain amount and say, I want just this amount. But those people that will open up their ears completely to the truth that God has for them, then you know what he's going to do? He's going to give them more truth. He's going to expose them to more if they're willing to receive it. Some people aren't. There were people in the Lord's day who just simply would not open up their ears to the truth. And I got to thinking about that just in studying, just wondering, you know, in my mind, why wouldn't someone open themselves up to the truth that's coming straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, these people actually had Jesus there on earth in their presence giving them truth, but we still have the Lord Jesus giving us truth through his word, right? And why wouldn't someone open herself up to that truth? Why is it that sometimes people close off their ears and they're very resistant to truth? Why is that? Well, I'm sure there's probably different reasons that people could give, but I think one of the main things is because of how truth affects a person's life. If a person opens herself up to the truth and they get it, then they realize they are responsible at that very moment to either do that truth or not do that truth. And maybe they just feel like ignorance is bliss. As long as I don't know it, then I'm not responsible to fool with it. And so they'll be resistant to that truth. They won't open themselves up to it because they like their life the way it is right now. They enjoy how they're living right now. And they don't want anything to come in that might bring them to a point in their life where they have to make a decision. Either I'm going to continue to live as I'm living now and be in disobedience to God, or I'm fixing to make some changes in my life and I'm going to do different. And they don't want to be brought to that place right there. They don't want it. They want to just keep on living like they're living, doing their own thing because they enjoy their life as it is. And they don't want truth to disrupt their life. And that's why a lot of people are resistant. They'll close up their ears, won't listen to it. You know why some people won't go to church? To a church where somebody's preaching the truth of the Word of God on a regular basis? And there's a lot of excuses that people give. I'm going to tell you, one of the main reasons why people won't go to a church where the Word of God's being preached is because they don't want to be confronted by truth. They don't want it. Because they know that the moment they're confronted, they got to make a choice. Either I'm going to heed what God has said and make some changes in my life, or I'm going to reject that truth and go on living the way I want. And it's very dangerous, by the way, to reject truth for a lot of reasons. But the people that will have ears to hear, that just open up their heart and their ears and say, Lord, I want all the truth you can possibly give me. And that's the way all of us should be, right? We shouldn't be afraid of the truth. We shouldn't want to hide from the truth. We should want to be exposed to the truth and say, Lord, my heart's open. My ears are open. Whatever truth you have for me, just give it to me, Lord, and then give me the grace to do what I need to do with that truth. That should be our attitude. And whenever a person is that way, according to verse 24, they're going to get truth and they're going to be given more truth. If a person responds the right way to truth, you know what God will do? He'll give them more truth. And then he'll give them more truth. But, on the other hand, look at verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. You got some truth? You got it because you opened your ears and you received it? Okay. For he that hath, to him shall be given. God give you more truth. That's what I want. I want more truth. But then he says, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So it's dangerous to reject truth. Because you know what God will do? He'll just basically let you have it the way you want it. If he exposes you to truth and you won't have it. See, don't misunderstand verse 25. And he that hath not, don't read that like they don't have it because God didn't give it to them or they couldn't have it. That's not what he means. These are people that were exposed to some truth, but they did not accept that truth, and because they wouldn't accept that truth, they don't have that truth. You know what God will do if a person just resists that truth? He won't give them any more truth. He won't. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. He will even take from you, according to what I just read, what you already have. If you won't respond in the right way to the truth. This is important. And again, he says all this to lead in to verses 26 to 32, where he's going to give some truth about the kingdom of God. He wanted these people to open their ears and be receptive to what he said about the kingdom of God or about whatever. And let's just read through these here quickly. We're about out of time. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. He doesn't understand what goes on there below the soil. He puts out that seed and it goes down there and it's underground. And that's the same with us. We can put the seed in, but we don't understand all of that process that goes on underneath the soil. We don't understand how all that stuff works. We know that it works because we see what happens, but we don't really understand the process. Because look at what he says. He says, for the ear bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. We see what comes up and is above ground, right? We see the fruit, the result of the seed planted, but we don't understand necessarily what happened down there to get it to that point. We don't. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. People go out, they put the seed in the ground, and then a process takes place below the surface there. Something goes on with that seed down in there. We don't understand how all that stuff works. The next thing you know, something pops up from below the soil, and that thing begins to grow, and it eventually brings forth a harvest. And he says, so is the kingdom of God. This is a parable about how God grows his kingdom. And there's a certain mystery to how God works. You read in the scripture where Paul says that his ways are past finding out. We can't fully understand how God does all that he does in a person's heart, can we? We can't fully understand all that stuff. We can't see how God's working on the inside of an individual. We don't fully understand all that goes into God growing his kingdom, but we do see his kingdom growing. We see the results of God working in people's hearts. How do we see that? Well, when somebody gets saved, right? Well, obviously, if a person gets saved, some seed was planted, because we see in the Bible that a person is born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, right? So some seed's been planted, but where does that seed get planted? It gets planted down in their heart, kind of like that seed under the soil, and it gets in there. And I can tell you right now, after all these years of being a Christian and being in the ministry and dealing with people, I don't understand all that God does with that seed in a person's heart. I don't understand all that process. But I get to see the results sometimes. Because that soul being saved, it's just like that seed being underground. You can't see it, but then all of a sudden, poof, there's something. And I liken that to a person getting saved. You know, that seed's down in their heart. And I don't understand how God does all that stuff, but he takes that seed and he does something in that person's heart, and then, boom, they get saved. And hopefully they'll grow and they'll mature and eventually grow up just like the seed does. And then when it's all said and done, and when God is finished with all that he's going to do down here, you know what he's going to do? He's going to put his sickle in. He's going to reap the harvest. One day he's going to come back. Amen? And he's going to reap out of this world all these people that are a part of his harvest. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? What are we going to compare it to? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. The seeds he's talking about, you have to qualify what he's talking about. He's talking about herbs here. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Again, it's about God growing his kingdom. And it just growing and growing and growing until it spreads and spreads and spreads. And you know what's going to happen? One day the kingdom of God, this spiritual kingdom that we're a part of now, is going to literally take over the world. It's going to take over. And he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of his kingdom, like this thing says, it just spreads out. You know what the Bible says? Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Isn't that what it says? Just going to spread out and take over. What a glorious and blessed time when finally the kingdoms of this world, as Revelation says, become the kingdoms of our Christ. What a day when the kingdom of God is in full force, ruling and reigning, and everything is done down here just like God wants it to be done. What a blessed time that's going to be. Verse 33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear. What determined whether or not they were able to hear? As they were able to hear. Some were able, some were not. Some could hear more than others. Well, it goes back really to what we just talked about. How much does that person expose themselves to the truth? How much are they willing to hear? If a person's not willing to hear the truth, or they're only willing to hear a certain amount of truth, then they're not able to hear everything like God wants them to hear it. And you see what he did? Now look at this. He dealt with them just as they were. It says he spake many such parables as they were able to hear it. He just dealt with them just as they were. If they wanted it, he gave it. If they didn't, or they only wanted a certain amount, just as they were able to hear it. That's how he dealt with them. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. But we're going to stop here because we're out of time. We'll finish up this chapter next week. Any questions about what we looked at today? Any questions? All right, we'll take a break.